B-Pod Studios.
Getaway day for Zoe.
How you doing, Mass?
Getaway day. Welcome into Agenda Free Friday here on Felger, Mass. Hello, everybody. It's finishing the wipe down.
Mass? We did that too much.
How you doing?
I'm good.
All right.
Where's his sleeves? Where's his BMW? Is it still stuck in a tunnel?
Why? He was stuck?
He usually gets stuck on traffic.
Oh, just generally speaking.
Oh, he's bitching.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He could do one of his food reviews while he's sitting there in traffic.
What do you got for an opening thought?
The Gronkowski stuff. Hall of Fame first ballot guy or not. And the fact it's even being debated is really starting to piss me off.
Who started this?
I don't know. Was it Karen Garrigan that put it out there? What is wrong with my mic? I can't log into my computer. My mic is...
Oh, wow.
It's going to be a long
Stop
day, folks.
That.
Yep.
Don't do that. Stop. Don't make it worse. Don't touch it. We'll fix it during the break.
Okay. Just let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Take this past year out of it where the numbers were down. But he had a pretty good year. He did. I mean, when the ball was thrown to him, he caught it. When he was at his peak, those first 7 years, is he the most dominant tight end? Is he the most dominant player, the best player at his position?
In the league currently,
yes.
At the time?
Everybody's up against.
That's not
Everybody's
even close.
Up against.
Not even close.
For almost a century. Oh, not a century. Right?
Yeah. Yes, a century.
Yeah. A decade. For a decade, is he the most dominant tight end to play the game? The answer is yes. So you're either in or you're out. It's either a yes or no. It's not, well, maybe it's a second ballot or maybe it's a third. Look who he goes up against. Guys like Antonio Gates, Jimmy Graham. Here's another one.
Okay.
Is Jason Witten a Hall of Famer? Everybody tells me, oh my God, yeah. Bledsoe loves him. Thinks he's the best tight end he played with. Outside of Coates. Love Coates, but he said Jason was a better all-around tight end.
Do I think that Jason Witten is going to be a Hall of Famer? I do.
Yeah. First ballot?
No. I don't think he will be in on the
first
ballot.
It's going to be, who are you up against when you come out, too?
But this
after
is the
5 year
but I mean, this is the thing. Rob Gronkowski was a much better, more dominant player than Jason Witten was. And Jason Witten was damn good.
I'd say that Rob is more of a lock and stock surefire Hall of Famer than Jason Witten is.
Yeah, I don't think that was... Is that a debate?
People talk about Jason Witten because he's out there doing a broadcast. And like, here he is, future Hall of Famer right here. Like, no doubt about it. Hall of Famer. One of the best players to ever play for the Cowboys. Played for America's team. This Gronkowski kid, and I don't know if he's coming back or not, I'm starting to think no. I'm starting to think he's done. Yeah, I think he won it, and I think he may potentially be walking.
Whoa, you think Gronk's done now? This is a swing for you.
Well, the fact is, Hall of Fame
start of the week. You were saying that he was not done.
Well, you're reading more and more like it's post. That's just a gut feeling I got. I didn't talk to anybody. I'm just absorbing everything that's written. You're starting to talk. Is he a Hall of Famer first ballot guy? Yeah.
So
this ain't baseball, folks. This isn't baseball where you don't vote people
in. So the story you talked about in the Herald that Karen wrote is where it started. But again, it's 5 voters that are not named. I get it. They're not going to talk on the record about it, I guess.
Right.
But 5 members of the Hall of Fame selection committee, there's 48 in all, none of them would firmly commit to the notion that he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I want to know why.
This is a worthy story that was written. Don't take this the wrong way. I'm not putting down this story.
Right. No. We're not killing the story.
But 5 out of 48? Honestly, there could be 35 guys out of the 48 that say, oh, yeah, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And there could be 13 or 14 guys that say, I don't know. But all of the 5 said that he's in.
Yeah, but when?
So what are we? What are
he's either in or he's not in. You don't say he's a second
round. But all 5 of them said they will get him in, that they will put him in. And say that there could potentially be people ahead of them that they want to get in first and, you know, in chronological order.
Oh,
that they're nice. Basically saying that they're not going to make special, they're not going to reserve a special spot where as soon as he comes up, they have to get him in. Right?
Right.
Which I think is nonsense. You put the best players in order of how good they are, not in order of when they come up on the ballot. The problem is there's starting to be a bit of a backlog on players that deserve to be in.
Well, that's a problem.
And you are capped each year on how many you can get in. That's why it's hard to get into this Hall of Fame.
See, I think the worst thing they did was put Terrell Davis in first ballot. 6 years. Was he the most dominant running back?
Yeah, but you gotta remember though. You gotta remember, sometimes it's based on, well, who else is on, who you're up against.
Right. That was a hell of a, and that's the problem Ty Law has had. You know, you got Champ Bailey, Ed Reed, Tony Gonzalez. Gronkowski got to the numbers 30 games quicker than Gonzalez did. If he's a first ballot guy,
so what?
But
are
what he's pretty in the TV.
So
guys,
what are we really arguing about? Whether he goes in first year or second year?
The fact he's not a first rounder,
he's getting in.
That's pissing me off.
I don't remember who all the first ballot Hall of Famers are. I don't remember them.
I know
who's the first ballot guy. I assume all the really good ones were. Well, I'm assuming all the quarterbacks that were great that are in. You know, Jim Kelly and Steve Young, Troy Aikman, all these guys, they all got in on the first ballot, right? I have no idea.
Yeah.
I assume they did.
I'm just trying to name
and years
another
from now,
tight
people
end
will assume that this guy got in on the first ballot, too.
But I'm just saying, I'm trying to come up with another guy in the last 10 years that is close to Gronkowski.
Do you want to know who
can
they
you give
are?
Me one? Like
yeah,
the,
sure.
A shortish list here.
Of first ballot guys?
First ballot guys.
Okay.
All right. Elected in first year of eligibility, Troy Aikman,
yep.
Larry Allen, Marcus Allen, Lance Allworth, Champ Bailey, Raymond Berry, George Blanda, Terry Bradshaw, Derek Brooks, Jim Brown, Dick Butkus, Earl Campbell, Eric Dickerson, Tony Dorsett, Elway, Falk, Favre, Fouts, Tony Gonzalez.
Is that it? Is that the whole list?
Yeah.
Darryl Green, Joe Green, Jack Hamm, John Hanna, Frank O. Harris, the great Irish player.
Yeah.
Ken Houston, Deacon Jones, Walter Jones, Jim Kelly.
Okay, so again,
there's a lot.
The quarterbacks, though, Aikman, you said was. You're talking who else? Jim Kelly, you mentioned. I'm assuming Montana was. I didn't.
Yeah.
Did we say him?
Yeah.
Okay. Montana was.
Obviously Dan Marino, Ronnie
Ray
Moss.
Lewis,
right?
Ray Lewis, the first ballot.
Bart Starr, yeah. Johnny Unitas,
Warren Moon, Randy Moss,
Staubach, Bradshaw, Fouts,
Chuck
Kelly,
Noll.
Elway, Montana, Young, Marino, Aikman, Moon, Favre.
They're
all the quarterbacks for the most part.
Right.
All the quarterbacks were first ballot guys, except for Namath. Namath was not a first ballot guy. Frank Tarkenton.
These are all
Frank
like
Tarkenton, not a first ballot guy.
Those are all post 83 grads.
No one in the modern, I'll say. Guys who played after 1990, no one has not, of the quarterbacks that have gone in, they have not been first ballot guys.
Was Kurt Warner?
Terrell Davis was not a first ballot guy, by the way.
He wasn't?
No.
What about Kurt Warner? I thought Kurt Warner was. So he was eligible, boom, he got in.
Yeah, no, I said
all
the quarterbacks post 1990 have been first ballot guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you excluded him. Trying to think.
Emmitt Smith, LaDainian Tomlinson.
Steve Young was.
O.J. Simpson. For the most part, you've got really good players who get in on the first ballot. But outside of, I think, the quarterbacks and the guys that are just special, like Barry Sanders.
Right. He's a first ballot.
Earl Campbell.
Brian,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, is Gronk in that class at his position? He is.
Yes.
He's got company, but he's in that class. I just don't think that the first ballot. I've heard a lot of people talking about it this week. I think the being the first ballot guy, it's nice for the player. You obviously want it, but I don't think anybody really remembers it. Like I think people remember who the real Hall of Famers are and who they were.
This isn't Pro Bowl. This isn't a All Pro Award. This isn't Player of the Year. This isn't MVP. You're in the Hall of Fame. You're a yellow jacket. You have your bus made.
And you know what I think might be getting held against Gronkowski, and I think it's ridiculous given the sport that he plays, is that he accumulated. Statistically, his touchdowns, though, in the first 5 or 6 years of his career, right? It's almost like, oh, he just had so many. It's a product of the league he played in and the quarterback he had throwing to him. It's wrong. Those assertions are wrong.
Right.
That he, what, should have done it more gradually? I think that part of it is going to come back, and someone's going to hold that against him, which is foolish.
Even in his prime, too, you couldn't even double Gronk. Like any of these other guys you talk about, nobody doubled Gonzalez. You played him with nickel. You played him with a safety. Gronkowski, you played different defense against him when he was great. And I know he was down this year and the numbers weren't there and he got nicked up. But man, when this guy cranked it for 7 years, there's nobody better.
By the way, Kurt Warner wasn't even a finalist in his first year of eligibility.
Oh, he wasn't?
No.
So there you go.
Huh, okay.
So he was not a first ballot guy.
Seems like he got in quick.
Again, I don't remember.
I thought he got in quick.
I felt like he got in quick.
Yeah. Because I remember sitting there arguing it. Like, you know what? I'd put him in. Super Bowl with the Rams, lost another, took another team there.
Yeah, they didn't hold it against him. That
went to the Giants, hurt his thumb.
Short-lived.
Right.
Right?
Right.
They didn't hold that against him. I just think that if you know that for about a five-year period or six-year period that there was nobody better, nobody more dominant, so good that he did things he hadn't seen before at the position. That's how good he was. So that to me is, that guy gets in the Hall of Fame. And these five voters said he is in the Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of Fame player. He's going to get in. There's no doubt about his Hall of Fame status. But if you want to argue about the first ballot, you can. I'm not telling you not to.
All right. If you just want to look at it by position, one tight end has been the first ballot Hall of Famer.
Tony Gonzalez.
That's it. Just the one. So.
Okay. This guy got to his numbers 30 games fewer. So if we want to do compare.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I would also say that Tony Gonzalez playing a much longer period of time was very impressive.
That's my Friday, bitch.
You got to understand, like, who would you rather have on your team for a game? You'd absolutely take Gronk over Tony Gonzalez.
I'd take him over Gonzalez, over Jimmy Graham, all those finesse guys. Gonzalez is a finesse guy. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't know that I'd go that far on Tony Gonzalez.
I think Witten's a tougher player than him. When Witten was in his prime, he was a better tight end than Gonzalez.
But I think you're shorting Gonzalez a little bit.
But what you said, though, in terms of like which one you would take, and this is going to get us into the whole, like, how many from this Patriots era are actually going to get in. But after the quarterback and coach, if you're going to choose one player from this entire run to take from the Patriots and put on your team, Rob Gronkowski is on the top of a lot of lists.
Oh, he should totally be on the top of every list. He should.
I mean, he's that good. I mean, you could make it.
I don't know. We're already talking about him as if he's done.
This is why I'm starting to feel he's done because we're doing the Hall of Fame.
Think of all the guys that are in, like Kellen Winslow. So you're saying Tony Gonzalez was the only guy.
Yes.
So Kellen Winslow did not go in on the first ballot.
Oh.
No. Was he a finesse guy?
Oh, the original Kellen Winslow?
The original.
He was phenomenal.
Okay,
man. He had great games against the Steelers. You don't have to remind me. I remember him getting carried off the field, that one where he's so exhausted.
Yeah, was he tough?
Oh, he's a tough player.
Okay. Yeah. He didn't get in on the first ballot. And when you talk about the greatest tight ends ever, you talk about Kellen Winslow. You talk about Tony Gonzalez, obviously.
Mark Bavaro.
Was he? Obviously not.
It wasn't breakaway, though, you know? Trying to think of some great tight ends.
Is he in? Nope. Is he in the Hall of Fame?
Not as a tight end.
You know what you're finding out? Tight ends really don't get in.
Well, you know what?
The tight ends are Dave Casper, Mike Ditka, Gonzalez, John Mackey, Ozzie Newsome.
John Mackey himself.
I knew Ozzie was in.
Charlie Sanders, Shannon Sharp.
He's a receiver. He's not even a tight end.
They put him at
He's a flex end.
Jackie Smith and Kellen Winslow.
It's a short list.
Short list. I just put this guy in with that mix, and I just think he's as dominant or more dominant than any of them. Really. Winslow was ahead of...
Does anybody remember if Kellen Winslow was a first ballot Hall of Famer or not? No.
No.
Nobody remembers.
No, but I remember he's
but
a
anyone
great
who
player.
Watched football at that time remembers how good Kellen Winslow was.
I've just never seen anything like 87 and what he's done. You know, I played with Coates. Coates was phenomenal. He was that big athletic transition type guy. I had Wycheck. Marv Cook was here originally when I got here. He could catch the hell out of the ball. He went to Pro Bowls.
All right.
So much. You put this guy with
this. This is in the conversation
now.
Touch him. And everything that we did this week, including Odell Beckham Jr. and the possibility of landing in New England.
Brody's very excited about that, by the way.
OBJ versus Julio Jones. Players, who does Brody want? OBJ or Julio?
OBJ. We went outside. He did the one-handed catches.
Wow.
Practice.
All right. So that's in the mix from the week. Everything that we've discussed, Celtics, Kyrie, Red Sox items that we've touched on this week. And I've got more that I want to get to on the Patriots as it relates to Trey Flowers. Trey Flowers and his impending free agency. We will talk about that next.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zoe, and the Beatle. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Talk
Hi.
Talk. It's your... It's
Solak and Bertrand here. Can't wait to talk about Trey Flowers. I wanted to tease that right before we went to the break there.
He's the first name on the show, and he can't...
I just listened to his new funky
show.
Jam.
You can't do a show. Just
I can do a whole, show myself.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Why don't you guys leave?
Do a show. Oh, don't have to ask me twice.
I'll stay set up. Come on. It's Friday. I'm going to do that to me today.
What did Trey Flowers tweet out?
Three yesterday. The number three. That's it. Simple. Very simple. Retweeted by Kyle Van Noy.
Hold on. He didn't just tweet out three.
Well, I follow Van Noy, so...
He tweeted out 3 points.
3 points.
Three PTS dot, 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 dot. That's it.
Go to the mic'd up stuff post game. I love you, Trey. I love you so much from Bill Belichick. 3 points. How about that? 3 points.
He's reiterating what Belichick 9:49 said. 9:49 a.m. yesterday.
3 points.
3 points. Three PTS.
Mm-hmm. I did early edition last night. Yeah. You know how like the last minute of the show, they're like, okay, right. We have 45 seconds to fill here.
Crazy drill.
And Cap said to me, he's like, Hardy, you want to do the Trey Flowers 3 point thing, or you just want to do something else? I said, let's just do something else. Let's talk about Bertucci's roles for 45 seconds. I don't know what to say about this. There was enough of the dissecting of David Price yesterday in the number 10. How do you dissect this? How do you get into this?
It's in your face. It's like we're a better defense than anybody thought. In your face. Three
Well,
points.
It tells you that he's still sort of riding the Super Bowl high at this point.
I think that's part of it. Is. I think he's still staying. We held him to 3 points.
Which he should. You know, we discussed this topic already, and we discussed it in the framework of can the Patriots keep Trey Flowers and Trent Brown, and if you had to pick one, who do you pick? Phil Perry has written a story on that very topic, that very idea, that angle.
Where have we heard that?
Isn't that funny how that happens? That
it's
angle
funny how
right
people
there.
Use our stuff, huh?
Yeah, we come up with all the good angles around here. He writes, changes coming for the Patriots this offseason. Every day this week, he's reacting to one of these potential shifts. And he says, we never fixed that mic, did we?
No, we'll do it during a break.
He said, last year, the Patriots lost Nate Solder, Danny Amendola, Deion Lewis, Malcolm Butler, and we talked about, oh my God, they're talking about all the guys they're losing to free agency. Starters, starting players. And so then he sort of says, could that happen again? Could you lose Trey Flowers? Could he possibly go out onto the market and get a huge payday? Now, that is obviously true. We all know that. We all believe that that could be the case. And then the other thing is the Trent Brown situation. I've said consistently from the beginning, if you could pick one, you got to pay one with a real contract. See you later, Trent Brown.
Yeah.
Pay Trey Flowers.
Yeah, you're not going to pay Trent Brown Nate Solder money. You're not doing it.
You drafted Isaiah Wynn in the first round last year. He now needs to become the left tackle. That's what needs to happen. So if you could pick one, it's got to be Trey Flowers. The problem is that his market might
should
be
through the roof.
Through the roof.
Yeah.
Some projections having him somewhere around the $15.5 million mark.
Oh.
What, you don't like that?
That's a lot.
Somewhere in the range of 5 years, $75 to $80 million.
You ever see him stand next to guys like Clowney or Julius Peppers or some of these home wreckers, man? He's just these big dudes. Just line them up outside. You can't block them with just one guy.
I mean, you're talking about some of the contracts that have been handed out, like Jabal Sheard and Calais Campbell and Olivier Vernon and guys like that, sort of where some of these comps come from in terms of what he makes. But I think, and will continue to think, and I've been harping on this point for months. I mean, mid-season I started harping, you got to pay this guy. You can't afford to let this guy walk out the door. And one of the most important reasons for me is not only the fact that he's so good. I mean, what is there not to like about Trey Flowers? But sort of the, if you come in and you're drafted by us and you're a young player within this organization and you do everything that is asked of you and you work your ass off for 4 years and you become a key contributor and you become our best player in one of our units like he has. He is our best defensive lineman, and after him, the list gets real thin real quick.
They're a different defense without
him. Oh, they stink.
Yeah.
It's not a great group.
Go back to early in the year when he hurt the shoulder down in Jacksonville and you're out for that stretch of games, well, and it's just mixing, matching guys. I wasn't even
play that tape to the end, because so far it sounds like you could be talking about Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, said that. Yeah, but here's the thing.
Just come in here, do your job, become the best and most important player at your position, essentially win us a Super Bowl. Yeah, play the tape to the end, and we'll bring in somebody else that we think is better than you and pay him, and then you can go off and.
But I think can I be honest about this? I think Trey Flowers is a more committed player than Malcolm Butler ever was.
I think we got universally fooled on Butler. I think we overvalued Butler, where they looked at it and said, okay, he's good, but he lacks height. The motor isn't there. He may show up late here or there. There may be an issue with him. He wants too much money.
I mean, Malcolm Butler should have played. Listen,
Trey Flowers is a better player.
I'm not retroactively changing my thoughts on Malcolm Butler, but I can tell you, and I don't think we got fooled. I think he has ability, and I think he's an emotional guy, and his emotions have always gotten in the way of him being his best self. Last year,
I wanted to pay him. I like.
He did not have a great year last year.
No,
he's not even close to his best year.
No,
and it was because he even admitted, and it looked like it from the get go, that he had let the contract situation crawl up into his head, and he was angry, and he couldn't get out of his own way.
I would have been angry too, because everything you're saying so far like has this happy ending. It's like you'll be rewarded with a contract, but the history, the most recent history of this team, especially for a defensive player, is no. Not only will you not get rewarded with a contract, but we're going to sit you down in the biggest last game of your life, and even if it means that's one of the reasons, if not one of the primary reasons why we lost that game, oh well, we're going to do it to embarrass you on your way out the door. I don't know, but
I think it's a bad comp. I think Trey Flowers is a better teammate. I think Trey Flowers works harder than Malcolm Butler did. I think that Trey Flowers is more talented at his position than Malcolm Butler was at his. And Malcolm Butler's pretty damn good.
I don't know. Trey Flowers, very, very good. And I think he probably does have more inherent talent. But who did what for this team?
Hey, they let Seymour walk.
No, they didn't.
Well, they traded.
No, they didn't. He held out and got a new contract.
Yeah, but if you really wanted a player, you could have paid him. That's all I'm saying.
Bad comparison. You're talking about a guy who is getting into the later years of his career versus coming off a rookie deal. Richard Seymour came off his rookie deal.
Richard's a former first-round pick, too.
Held out, got his payday.
Yeah.
Vince Wilfork, held out, got his payday. Yep. Logan Mankins, held out, got his payday. There's plenty of these guys that have gotten to the end of the deal, the end of the rookie years, and have gotten paid at top-of-the-market type money.
See, I'm trying to look at it, too. So if this is like baseball arbitration, and you put the player up there in front, what gripe would the team make against Trey Flowers to hold him down, to hold the number down?
Can't find it.
Maybe size, height?
Has it
he plays bigger than what he measures. Like, I can't think of negatives with the guy.
All I know is that Bill Belichick grabbed him after they won the Super Bowl and hugged him and said 3 points. And that's why he's tweeting that out yesterday. 3 points.
Kind of reminding everybody. Or else he's watching the Celtics game from the other night on tape delay, and Marcus Smart finally hit one. 3 points. It's good. Keep shooting.
And I think that's a great way of putting it, though. Where's the fault? Could you have found fault in Malcolm Butler? He didn't show up on time.
See, I think they had a lot more faults than what we knew
about. Was mentally, there at times.
Hold on a second.
That stuff existed.
Okay, because I know you said you weren't going to rewrite the narrative.
I'm not
rewriting any of it.
I still think with all of that, they could have
resigned. I wanted him to sign Butler. I wanted to give him 3 years, $30 million. I thought he would have taken it.
And not showing up on time. It's like, okay, you know, he literally couldn't leave his home state because the flight wasn't planned. You know, they canceled the flight. But that I'm not going to say he was a bad guy because
I'm not saying that they were wrong. I'm just saying that I'm not saying that the team was right to be so critical of him as they were, or for him to sash him in OTAs like he did, talking about Bill's punishment.
2 weeks.
I'm just saying they don't have those things on Trey Flowers. They can't. There's nothing there. So his teammates can sit there and say this guy never did a single thing wrong. And by the way, the other part is he can go elsewhere and get paid, and that could still be the motivation of guys in that locker room where they say, I'm going to get my money, I just won't get it here, and I'll leave.
Okay. So look at guys like Amendola, Deion Lewis, Nate Solder last year that left and actually got paid. And we looked at that offseason and said, what's your number one priority? And I said, you got to sign Nate Solder. You got to keep Tom Brady upright. I went the Nate Solder route.
Not at that money.
Well, he ended up getting more than what we thought.
You can have him at that money.
I'd say that it's more of a concern where you need to keep this guy over any one of those free agents that were potentially going to fly the coop last year. Trey Flowers is more important to the direction of the team
left last year.
Because of the age of your linebackers, the age of your safeties, a new defensive coordinator, young staff. You need good veteran players. He's a good veteran player. He's an anchor. When you build championship teams, you need ownership and a good coach. You need a quarterback that's got ice in his veins, a good kicker, and they always said a good pass rusher. One good pass rusher, one anchor. Not a corner, an anchor, a pass rusher.
And they have paid market-level deals. Devin McCourty's gotten a market-level deal when he got paid. Dak Mason, 5 years and $50 million. He got money.
Yeah.
He got paid. They've paid guys recently. And for the most part, they've chosen the right guys to pay. I think they should absolutely be choosing to pay this guy and pay Trey Flowers. Yep. Did they have to pay Malcolm Butler? Turns out, no, they didn't.
Nope.
They didn't have to.
No, they
gave Stephon Gilmore in free agency a market-level deal. First day of free agency, banging down the door with a bag of cash. They paid that guy. They can pay Trey Flowers.
They paid Stephon Gilmore, and they did the right thing with bringing Jason McCourty in, which a lot of people didn't think necessarily was going to work out as well as it did, and he ended up, you know, performing very well here, and hopefully will if he and his brother decide to keep playing. I get all that. I just, you know, from the start of that, when you're saying like how this is going to play out and how it should go. It doesn't go that way all the time on any team, but especially with the Patriots, and especially with a guy who you think is it's automatic. Of course, you're going to give Malcolm Butler a deal after all he's done, everything that he's proven, 98% of the snaps. Huh. He's back there. He's getting the job done. So what if he's 5'11"? Guy can play the position. Won you a Super Bowl.
Maybe
he's doing
maybe
it.
Maybe he'd have won four.
Malcolm Butler. Yeah, Malcolm Butler. To make up for the loss of Darrell Reeves. This is awesome. Nope. So long.
617-779-0985. Okay. Rob Gronkowski and his first ballot Hall of Fame odds.
I'm undercover.
Is he going to be a first ballot? Maybe not. Maybe not. And should the Patriots be paying Trey Flowers? We've got that in the mix. Also, this hour, did you know who the Patriots might be signing a quarterback, so, according to Chris Carter?
No.
Okay. You'll find that out as well. That's all on the way.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Six 617-779-0985, the telephone number. Zolak and Bertrand on this Friday. Why don't we get some of your calls? Jeff is in the car. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey.
I just wanted to, you kind of touched base on it, alluded to it. The way you need to look at it is all these players come to New England, get 4 years or whatever their initial contract is, and outperform how they really is most of the time. That would actually be an interesting segment for you guys to look at.
Oh, okay. You should come in.
I'm going to let you go.
We're not here to play
on
our shows.
Don't call us on your Bluetooth in your car. Please don't do that.
Hey.
Too many people. I know. I get it. There's a lot of people in the middle of the day that are working and like.
Oh, I think it's safe to call us.
But it sounds horrible.
Yeah.
It sounds so bad. We can't do that. You know what it always sounds like? It always sounds like your window's open when it's not. It does. It has that sound of the road going down the road.
Right. Jim does that in the morning on the way in. I want to slap his head.
Nobody else who's listening in their car to this show wants to hear you in your car.
Right.
That's the problem. Jeff, call us back. Seriously, we'll talk to you again today.
Where's Jim?
You just call us back. Yeah. We could barely hear what you're saying. What did he even say?
I don't know. He was going
to
plan a segment for us. A really interesting segment. Don't come on in next week. Plan it for us.
I said I'm like, my patience on this call is thin.
Yep, it's going to be a short call. Where's Paulie?
Bluetooth Paulie is not good. It's great when you're driving and to stay safe.
Is Paulie afraid to call?
Pull over
now?
And call us. He's allowed to call.
He sure is.
We will have a question for him every time he calls, though.
Correct.
In order to figure out, Hardy, if we want to proceed with the call. It's that simple.
Yeah, very simple.
Terry's in Ohio. Hi, Terry.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Terry.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you,
man.
Great.
How you doing there?
That's good. I called to see if you were interested in talking about any prospects for the upcoming draft for us.
Like,
such as
which position?
You got anybody?
Well, Andy, I was looking at Andy Isabella from UMass.
Oh, I love Andy Isabella.
He would be a great addition. He could possibly be another Christian McCaffrey if he put a little bit of weight on.
Mm. I like that idea.
And what about that tight end from Iowa, Hawkinson?
Stud.
Yeah, that's a guy that Zoe's in on, Terry.
Yep.
You're a big fan of
him. Yeah, I am, but just a tad leery.
Isn't he going to be a first-round guy, though?
Yeah, probably late, yeah. Middle. They said somewhere around 15 to 25.
Yeah, that puts him out of range for the Patriots.
He could fall.
What's his name?
Say Gronkowski retires and indicates he's retiring in 2 weeks.
Right?
Doesn't that accelerate your process as far as, gee, maybe we might move up to grab a tight end? You need a tight end in this offense. This offense is predicated on having a tight end that could get behind the backers, that could run block and do all the little things. Oh, he wears 87 too in Iowa.
He looks just like him.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
He even's got the big brace on the left arm. Whew.
He could be the next Gronk.
Next Gronk?
Could be the next Gronk. He could also be the next, you know, Daniel Graham.
So, the home of the Pats?
Or Ben Watson, you know. Patriots have drafted tight end. The Patriots went through a long line of drafting tight ends that didn't turn into Gronk until they had Gronk.
Just acquiring them.
Yeah.
The next Scott Chandler.
Daniel Graham was won the Mackey in college. He was like the best tight end coming out of college. He was great. Colorado, I think, is where he played.
Yep.
He was awesome in college.
Good blocker.
And then he came here and they used him to block. And the end of the deal, it was like, all right.
Cut that one pass in the Super Bowl. Was that against Carolina down in Houston, right? Right up the seam?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he can play. Yeah. I don't think they ever really fully got the full potential out of him. And I don't know that he played much longer after he was gone from New England.
No. Ben Watson's still ticking. That's about it.
Yeah, Ben Watson has managed to keep his career going.
They really tried to nail down that two tight end position where you can get that 12 personnel by drafting them like that when they did Hernandez and Gronkowski, too, after Watson and Graham. Two consecutive years, first-round picks.
Daniel Graham played a lot longer than I thought he did.
He did, didn't he?
So he played 5 years in New England, and then he went to Denver and played one, two, three, four seasons in Denver and played a full season in Tennessee in 2011 and then played six games with New Orleans in 2012. So he played 10 years in the league. I didn't realize he had played that long. Yeah, good for him. Jeremy in Maine on some Celtics items from the week. Jeremy.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey.
Hey, just a quick question for you that I watch you guys religiously. And
appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. And I don't know. My question is that if we by any chance end up trading for Anthony Davis this year, and then come July 1st, Kyrie just bolts on us and he says goes to the Knicks or wherever. So then the year after that, we know Anthony Davis isn't going to stay. So what's going to happen? That's going to leave us trading away all these assets, and then we're not going to have Kyrie, and we're not going to have Anthony Davis. So So I guess my question is, what are the Celtics planning on doing? Do they plan on trying to get Anthony Davis before July 1st?
No. Here's what's going to happen. July 1st is the opening, and so that's when you can officially start doing moves. It's the new league year, all that stuff, free agency. But in terms of the timeline, they would complete the Kyrie deal first.
Really?
If it's to be done. Yeah, come July 1st.
So I thought you'd want to convince Kyrie that you want to stay here because we're getting Anthony Davis to help you out to put two top seven players.
Well, it might
be
all part of the
same
conversation.
Right.
They might have the conversation with the Pelicans ongoing, but I don't think the Celtics will be in a position where they have to make the trade before they get Kyrie's situation sorted out.
Okay, so what happens if come July 1st, Kyrie just looks at Danny and he says, nope, sorry, I'm out. I'm going to go play with KD in New York. So
well, then you have a decision
to
make.
Do you still want to go for
Anthony Davis?
Right, exactly. I mean, are you going to give up all these draft picks and, say, Jason Tatum? Or are you going to, or are you going to play it smart and then maybe move your way up in the draft? And, you know, with all these picks you've got, maybe move your way up in the draft, you know?
If Kyrie bolts, I would say I'm not going to do the deal for Anthony Davis.
I agree
with good
that.
As he is and as big of a difference he would make next season with or without Kyrie, what are you going to give up your future for to get one season out of a
totally
guy?
Totally agree.
Because I think if you add Anthony Davis and everyone else on the team but Kyrie, you're still a really good team. You still might even get to the finals with that team. But you're talking about trying to force a guy who doesn't want to be here into being here? I don't know. I just think it's hard. I think it's a huge risk to take. And at the end of the year, you're left with... And by the way, that would be Anthony Davis without Jason Tatum on the team. So I didn't even factor that in. No Tatum, no Kyrie.
Let's just hope this weekend that Kyrie, after taking care of some business and working with his trainers and doing some other things and hanging out with the family, that he gets together with all these guys and they figure out their plan and say, what up, AD? You're going to come here to the Celtics. I'm going to re-sign. We're going to be good. So hopefully we get that taken care of.
Yeah, meanwhile, he's got LeBron in his ear saying, hey, AD, why don't you come to L.A.? Why don't you play for the Lakers? Why don't you be a Laker? What do you think? You know, he already has stated through his family he doesn't want to be in Boston. And then you've got LeBron James. LeBron James saying, why don't you come play with me and we'll win championships in Lakerland? What do you think he's going to choose? He ain't choosing the Celtics. Not doing that. So I think, you know, hopefully the way it sort of plays out is Kyrie is back. And then you make that deal for Anthony Davis. And you say to Anthony Davis, why would you not want to stay in place right here? Because I think that would be a damn good team next year, so.
I agree.
Then you'd be competing next year for a championship. That's how you try and convince him to stay. 617-779-0985. Is Colin Kaepernick coming to the Patriots?
No!
One NFL analyst says yes.
No. Nice.
We'll get to that story next.
I'll fly in motion.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm the man. 617-779-0985.
It's one of the few things really good that was associated with Kaepernick.
Right? This song. Great
this
song.
This him in his prime where he was flexing. He had the Dre beats on. Good commercial. Aloe Black.
He's awesome.
It's the jam.
Very talented guy.
Then it all went downhill. Then he went wacky.
I feel like Aloe Black should have more hits. I don't know where he currently fits into pop music now, but he's too good to not have more.
Put something like that out, just like one
more out there.
You know who I feel like that about?
Just let it breathe.
Ski-Lo. Ski-Lo, we got one big hit from Ski-Lo. That's it. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good.
What about Chubba?
You're mocking me.
What about Chubba?
Yes, you are.
What about
Ski-Lo.
What about Chubba Thump Thumper?
Birds of a Feather.
No, don't do that to Aloe Black. He doesn't deserve
that. What about Chub Thumper?
Oh, Chumbawamba.
I get knocked down, I get up again.
Yeah, they were anarchists.
All right, back to the matter at hand, which is Colin Kaepernick.
Not Ski-Lo.
Not Ski-Lo, correct. We're not talking about Ski-Lo now. We're talking about Chris Carter, who believes Hall of Famer. Was he a first ballot guy?
I'd say yeah.
Can we find out?
All he did was catch touchdowns.
I'd like to double check that list if we could. Just hold on. I got it up in front of me. Hold on.
Do you know how good that wide receiving core was in Minnesota at the end with Randy
Chris
Moss?
Chris Carter, not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
What is wrong with people?
Okay, see, now you know. Chris Carter was excellent. He was a great player. Well, here's what he had to say today about where Colin Kaepernick could land.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.